It's our privilege to have Brother Sowers with us, and he has chosen as his subject a year at Sinai. A year at Sinai. Brother Sowers.
Thank you, Brother Jesuit. Sister Virginia and I are very glad to be here. We bring you the love of your brethren in the Phoenixville Ecclesia. In fact, Sister Virginia brought a hug and a kiss for at least two people here. She does that more gracefully than I do. Our lesson, a year at Sinai, that's not the exact amount of time, but the chart that you see over here is pretty simple.
These black numbers that run
1 through 12 represent the numbers of the months of that first year. And the red numbers are the first 7 months of the second year. And I made one black and one red so that you can tell where 1 year ended easily. Numbers may be a little hard to read, I don't know. I started lettering from this end and worked that way, and I thought, sure, by the time I had gone through 19 months, my lettering would improve. But it didn't. So we're going to start, and our lesson is not going to dwell upon type and antitype. We're not seeking to talk about a type and then bring a personal lesson to us. And someone might well ask, well, what's the purpose of the lesson then? Or Brother Carl might say, what's the point? The point is that our Heavenly Father, in that period of time, created for us many beautiful word pictures. We use them all the time in our studies. We refer to them more than we realize, perhaps. And in so doing, we aren't particularly thinking about when this occurred relative to something else, because it's not that important. We're looking for what is the meaning for us. But I think that if you will walk with me, we have to walk, for about 12 months here through Sinai, and just consider some of the key points, when they occurred relative to other things. It might not even help you understand the antitype better, but I think it will help each one of us appreciate it a little more. Since the Heavenly Father created those pictures, it's good that we know all we can about them. And I would suggest that in taking notes, I'm going to talk about some of the key events, then I'm going to give you scriptures. And I would like for you to take notes and copy the scriptures and relate those scriptures to the month. I'm going to put pointers as we go along, so that if I've misread or misinterpreted, you can correct me. And we're going to start by putting our pointer at the first month.
Right here.
Very first verse that says, instructions to Moses to speak to the people, that this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And so that's where our beginning begins. This was the beginning of months. It corresponds to our month April, roughly. Every memorial, we come back to this time and we think about it. It was the beginning of the month. We have 12 months lined out there for this first year. And then we start on the second year. the most significant event that happened then?
Well, place another pointer.
About the middle of the month. And the key words that we think about as we associate with that time are the words lamb, the words Passover, blood, doorposts, hyssop, unleavened bread, firstborn. All of those things are types and shadows to us associated with something very important. That's where it started, and that's where it is, on the stream of time. We're going to have to move rather rapidly. We only have about 40 minutes to cover 19 months, so you can see how fast we'll have to walk. That middle pointer in that first month is the time that they left Ramses, or the land of Goshen. And the scriptures for that are Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 31 through 37. And then it pinpoints it to the precise day that is on the 15th of Abib. It's called Abib sometimes. And to the books of the Bible, it's called Nisan. Numbers 33, verse 3, says specifically that it was on the 15th of Nisan they left Joshua, they left Ramses. Also, a few days following that, in this first month, they crossed the Red Sea. And the accounts of that are the verses associated around Exodus 14, verse 29. And that has many types and shadows in it. After they had crossed the Red Sea by the miraculous way that they did, we have recorded in the 15th chapter of Exodus, for example, the Song of Moses. And we associate that with the words of the Song of Moses and the Lamb, mentioned in Revelation 15, verse 3. Both were a song of deliverance, glorifying God because they had delivered a people. Also, it wasn't confined to Moses, the singing, because Miriam, who was about 90 years old, got her timbrel, and she led the women, and they danced and glorified God for this great deliverance. All that happened in month one. Now, moving on down, toward the end of that month, they had crossed over the Red Sea already, and they came to Marah, where it says the waters are bitter. This is in the 15th chapter, in verse 33. Remember, one of the pictures there was the fact that they cut a tree down, and when they cast that tree into the waters became sweet. And we think that tree, of course, pointed to the death of our Lord on a tree, and by his death that which is bitter becomes sweet. If we move on into the second month now, we have several events that we often refer to, or we hear discussed, or Brother Russell mentions in his writings. And the second month was a busy month. In that second month, first part of the month, they came to Elim. And that's a case where they found 12 wells and 70 palm trees. And both of those have a typical significance. That's in 15th chapter in verse 27. You read about that. And the 16th chapter, verse 1, it says they moved from Elim into the wilderness of Sin. And Sin is the name of the wilderness. It isn't necessarily the word Sin. But they moved from Elim into the wilderness in Exodus 16:1. And in that 16th chapter, verse 2 and 3, is the first account of where the Israelites begin to murmur. They talked about the flesh pots and the bread they had back there, and they were beginning to complain to Moses. That's in 16, verses 2 and 3. And in the 16th chapter, verses 13 and 15, it says they received quails in the evening and bread in the morning. Now, this is the first time that they received the quails. Later on, into the next year, they again received quails, and they had quails until it says it came out their nostrils or ears. Not so this count. We think this is the first one, and they had quails in the evening. And here was the first time that they had the manna. That's in the second month. They had the manna. It's talked about there in verses in chapter 16. From there, they moved out into the wilderness from Zin. They moved from there to Rephidim. Now we're into the 17th chapter of Exodus, still in the second month. And verses 1 through 7, they were complaining because there was no water. And this is the time that Moses smote the rock for the first time. Verse 7, Exodus 17:7, Moses smote the rock, and they got water out of the rock. By that time, they are down near Mount Horeb, right in that general area. The second smiting isn't recorded until Numbers, the 20th chapter, verse 11. And they had long since, they had left Sinai, and they had moved out on the rest of their journey. The fact that this second smiting occurred probably up near Kadesh Barnea. All of those in that second month. Now let's move down to the third month. We place the pointer right in the middle of the month. We did that because we have a precise date as to when they arrived and camped before the mount at Sinai. This is Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 1 and 2. They camped before the mount. And in verse 3, it says that Moses made a trip up into the mount. And just as a little sidelight here, we'll digress just a moment to point out that in their stay there at Mount Sinai, Moses made 6 trips up into the mount. Of course, if he went up 6 times, he came down 6 times. I'm going to give you those scriptures in rapid succession here so that, again, you can check and see. Maybe I've missed a trip, or maybe I misread one. This first one, he went up, and all of these are in Exodus. So I'll just give you chapter, then verse. He went up in 19:3. He came down in 19:7. He went up in 19:8. He came down in 19, verse 14. He went up in 19, verse 21. He came down in 19, verse 25. He went up in 20, verse 21. He came down in 24, verse 3. He went up in 24, verse 15, and he came down in 32, verse 15. And the last trip, he went up in 34, verse 4, and he came down in 34, verse 29. Every time Moses went up in the mountain, he didn't come down, as you recall, because he went up to the top of Mount Pisgah, and he didn't come down. He died there. That was in the 40th year of the journey, in the 11th month. But here he made 6 trips up and down. One of the things that we recall and refer to is what happened on the morning of the third day when they camped there. Now it says specifically they arrived there on the 15th. It says even the selfsame day. So they arrived on the 15th. That means it took them exactly 2 months from they left Goshen to get there. And on the morning of the third day, early in the morning, events begin to happen. That's when we recall there began the smoke and the fire and the quaking, and there was a voice of an angel booming down out of the mountain speaking these Ten Commandments to them, and the people became frightened. All that happened on the third day, which would be the 18th of the third month. Scriptures for that are these, 16 verse 3, or rather 19 verse 3, Exodus 20 verses 18 through 21, Deuteronomy the 5th chapter verses 24 through 29, and then Hebrews the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about this same event that occurred in that day, Hebrews 12 verses 18 through 21. I omitted something that we often hear referred to, and it's good to remember what had happened, so I'm going to go back and move one of the pointers. Now, something had happened somewhere around
2nd and 3rd month,
and that was the battle with Amalek. And perhaps the reason we remember that, we often talk about holding up Moses' hands, because that's when that happened. That happened before they ever got to Sinai, the battle with Amalek. And this is referred to many times in the scriptures as to because Amalek did this. That's in Exodus, the 17th chapter, in verses 9 through 13. Also, something else of importance happened, at least it was to Moses, and that was long about that time. Jethro, his father-in-law, came and brought Zipporah and Gershom and Eliezer, his two sons, Zipporah, his wife, out to meet them. And they went with them the rest of the journey. Not Jethro, but his wife and the two sons. This is in the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Now moving on down back into our third month, and toward the end of that month, after the smoke and the fire and the quaking and the voice of the angel, and if you read those scriptures, it references it, the people asked Moses to draw near to God, said, "You listen to him, then you come tell us what he says, and we will do it." And so Moses did. He went up. This is one of his trips into the mount. And from Exodus 21, verse 1, through Exodus, the 23rd chapter, verse 33, is recorded a great detail of instructions that were much of the law of Israel. These weren't the Ten Commandments. These were all detailed instructions of how they should handle their cattle, what they should do if the neighbor's animal fell into a pit, laws of hygiene, and so on. And these, Moses recorded these words. He came down in Exodus 24, verses 4 through 8. It says he recorded them in a book. And then he read these words to the people. And they listened, and they said, "All these things will we do." And then Moses had some animals killed. They slew the animals. They sprinkled the blood. And the Apostle Paul talks about it. And the scripture for that is Hebrews 12, again, verses 19 and 20. And he says that Moses sprinkled both the people and the book. This happened about the end of the third month, long toward that part of it. Then, right after that, something else of significance. We talked about one of the trips up into the mount. That's supposed to represent an arc or a circle. It's a period of time. That's the first 40 days that Moses went up into the mount. It was long about the end of the third month, right after he had read all of these things to the people. Then he went back up into the mount, because God told him to. And that is that period of time. And we find that in Exodus 24, verses 15 through 18. Verse 25, 1 through chapter 31, verse 17, Moses was up in the mount. Now, a lot of things happened in that period of time, spanned by that black indicator there. Moses received a lot of instructions up into the mount. He was given instructions about the tabernacle. He was told to take of a willing offering of all the people that were willing. This is 25 verse 2. And then he was given tabernacle instructions. He says, make sure you do this according to the pattern that I have shown you. So Moses saw in vision an actual pattern of the details. Exodus 25:40, Numbers 8, verse 4, and Hebrews 8, verse 5 speak of this pattern that Moses saw on the mount. Exodus 28, verse 1, while he's up in the mount, God told him to take Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel, and these were to be the priesthood. And he told Moses in Exodus 31, verses 2 through 6, he says, I've taken and chosen Bezalel and Aholiab, and I'm giving them special skills so that they may create these detailed things that I'm telling you about. And then, as a final thing, while Moses was up in the mount that first time, God gave him two tables of stone, written on both sides by the finger of God. And these are the Ten Commandments. God cut the stones, and God did the writing in this case. And while all of this was going on during that 40 days, remember what was happening down at the base of the mountain. Aaron and the children of Israel were building a golden calf. And so as a result, when Moses got down at the end of that 40 days, he was angry, he cast the stones down, and broke the tables. And this is in Exodus 32, verses 1 through 5, and verse 19. Exodus 33, verses 7 and 11. And in Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, verse 10. Now, we have another period just like that. That's the second 40-day period in the mountain. See, if we didn't look at it in detail, we might forget that Moses spent two 40-day periods in the mountain. We left a gap in between the two, and the reason we did that because Moses had to do some things down there. First of all, he was angry. He broke the tables. God was angry. That's the time when Moses pleaded with God. He says, if you can't forgive them, blot me out, I pray thee. And he pleaded for God's name, and God accessed to that. And then God said to him, you hew two more tables and bring them up, and I'll write on them. So this time, Moses had to cut out the tables, and he took them up into the mountain. God wrote on them, though. He still wrote on them, but Moses took them up. The scriptures for that in Exodus 34, verses 1 through 4. He hewed the two tables, Exodus 34, verse 4. He was 40 days in the mount with no bread, no water. He was an 80-year-old man, but no bread and no water. And this is in Exodus 34, verse 28. And this is the time when he came down from the mount at the end of that 40 days, his face shone. Exodus 34, verses 29 through 34. And again, This is talked about, and we refer to that. The Apostle Paul referred to that incident in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 13. His face shone. Now, up to this point in time, we don't have a tabernacle. And time's a-wasting, but no tabernacle still. When Moses came down the second time, the first time he got the instructions, he knew how to build it, but he didn't tell the people anything. He was busy getting ready to go back up into the mount again. But this time, when he comes down at the end of the 40 days, Moses then gives the instructions to the people as to what God had said concerning the tabernacle. And this is in Exodus 35, verses 4 through 20. So now, we're at a point of time that, starting right after the end of that 40 days, the black pointer is, it's pointing at a red number. No meaning of it. Moses gave the instructions to the people toward the end of the 6th month. And the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the 1st month of the 2nd year. So that means that tabernacle was just a little more than 6 months in the building. And building isn't the correct word. Noah built an ark, and we build buildings, but the tabernacle was fabricated. It was perhaps the first prefab. But it took them just a little more than 6 months to fabricate all those detailed things that go into the tabernacle. The curtains, the boards, the utensils, everything. And it's described, the building of the tabernacle, how they did this, in Exodus 36 chapter, verse 1, and it continues all the way through Exodus the 39th chapter, verse 43. All those verses describe the activity that went on between month 6 and the end of that 1st year. I'd like to read what it says at the end of the fabricating of this tabernacle in Exodus the 39th chapter, verse 43. To all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. Every detail of all the things that went into this tabernacle, the people had done it according to that, and he brought it to him. And then it's recorded where the black arrow is, and 40th chapter, verse 2, and verse 33 of that 40th chapter, it says that the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the 1st month shall thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And then it tells him what he was to put in them and do all those things. So we have precise dates as to when the tabernacle was set up, on that first day of the 1st month of the 2nd year. What happened next? Well, it doesn't give dates. But no doubt the thing that happened first after the tabernacle was set up was a consecration of the priesthood. How long did it take to set up this tabernacle? I don't think it took them more than a day. They had never done it before. This was the first time. But since everything was so precisely done and in accordance with the pattern, they would have no problem of setting it up. And so probably on that first day of that first month of the 2nd year, they had completed setting up the tabernacle. When it was set up, it says it was filled with smoke. But the last part of that that chapter, verses chapter 40 of Leviticus, verses 33 to 38, it covers a lot of period of time, and I don't think it's saying that all that happened upon that day. But the first thing was set up, and then it had to follow, they had to consecrate a priesthood. The priesthood had been identified, Aaron and his sons, but they were not priests yet. They had not been consecrated. And that, of course, we read about in Leviticus, the 8th chapter. And that chapter we're familiar with because that's chapter 3 of our Tabernacle Shadow Book. Brother also calls it consecrating a priesthood. And the reason he does that is because that's exactly what happened. The word consecrated, noted in your margin, means fill up the hands. And perhaps the name came from part of the ceremony that took place where this ram of consecration was cut up and the pieces placed upon the hands of Aaron and his sons, and they waved it for a wave offering. But of course, in antitype, the thought of filling up the hands fits well with the word consecration. Then, following that, this days of consecration, incidentally, required 7 days. Now, one way you might read that, you might think that the sacrificing that was done in that day, which they killed some animals, and incidentally it was Moses that did all the work. Aaron and his sons did nothing except hold out their hands. Moses killed the animals, Moses sprinkled the blood, Moses sprinkled the oil. Moses did all of that. Perhaps it's one picture of the gospel age that emphasizes God's part in consecrating the priesthood. But it required 7 days, and the significance of the 7 days is not a time significance, but rather it's the thought of completion. It's a way that God has when he says this is going to be done for 7 days, that the consecration of the priesthood shall be complete, no detail left out. So it pictures the whole gospel age. Following that, in Leviticus 9, it says something had happened on the 8th day. And again, the 8th day doesn't have a time significance. It's not like 6 days followed by the 7th. But rather, it's the 8th day because that's when it was. It took place right after the days of consecration. And this chapter, Leviticus 9, is in our 4th chapter of the Tabernacle Shadow Book. And Brother Russell simply calls that another type of the Atonement Day sacrifices, because that's what it was. It was another picture of the gospel age, in that Aaron and his sons both performed. Some other things happened that day that perhaps we don't think about. It was on that day, at the end of the day, that two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, tried to offer strange fire. This is recorded in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2. We think this happened on that 8th day, at the end of it. They tried to offer strange fire before the Lord. There might have been even more than that. Some indication is that they had been drinking strong wine. But as a result of that, fire came out and destroyed them. And two of their cousins had to come in and carry them out. Also, as a result of that, we're going to place another arrow in time down toward the 7th month. As a result of this that happened on that day of dedication, at the end of the day when the two sons were killed, God gave Moses some special instructions. And these instructions are recorded in the 16th chapter of Leviticus. We oftentimes we don't read those first three verses because that's where they are, because that's not the important part of the chapter. We're usually studying that, which is chapter 5 in the Tabernacle Shadow Book. And we're talking about the slaying of the bullock of the sin offering, the two goats that were brought in for the sin offering, and so on. But the first three verses do have importance, and if you will read those, you will note that it said, or begins that chapter, that after the death of Nadab, or after the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died, then the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. I think they had tried to enter in, and they were put to death. And then's when they received the instructions as to the very specific way that they had to enter into the Most Holy. And the 16th chapter details those instructions. Only once a year, and only the high priest entered in while the Lord was present there. When the Lord left that holy place where he dwelt between the cherubim, and it was time to move, then the priest went in and covered up the articles, and the Levites carried them out. But that's what happened at that time. Now, let's come back to that first day of our first month of the second year, some other things. Maybe we don't want to confuse the saints. Some other things that happened in that first month of the second year, that too was a busy month. First of all, they set up the tabernacle on the first day. 7 days of consecrated priesthood. On the eighth day, they had the dedication ceremony in which Aaron and his sons performed as priests for the first time. And then, after that, they were given instructions to number the children of Israel. That all happened in this first month of the second year. They numbered the children of Israel, and they came out with 603,550. Now, the first figure was only 600,000. I think perhaps that was a round number. But that is the result of numbering the children of Israel at that time. And also, in the second chapter of Numbers, it gives instructions as to who was to camp where. Different tribes were to camp in different positions. These instructions were all given at that time. And in the 10th chapter, it tells who marches and when. When it come time to leave, they had a precise way in which they left. Certain tribes, certain Levites, certain other tribes, and portions of the ark that the Levites were carrying. In a precise way. And that's all in Numbers, the 10th chapter. Also, in this first month, God told Aaron, or Moses, to bring the tribe of Levi before him. And this is in Numbers 3, verse 6. And that he would exchange the Levites for the firstborn. And the Levites were to be given unto Aaron, to serve Aaron. This is Numbers 3, verse 9. The account of the exchange for the firstborn is in Numbers, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 15. Again, all in this same month of the second year. They also got the cattle of the Levites. They numbered the firstborn, and it turns out that there were 273 more firstborn than there were Levites. So that was paid over in a form of shekels of the sanctuary to Aaron. And also in that chapter, after the Levites were consecrated to do the service of carrying the tabernacle, he gave them precise instructions as to who carried what, which tribe had carried the boards, which ones would take care of the curtains in the tent, which ones would take care of the vessels, the ark, and the lampstand, and so on. And also, in that
first month,
they celebrated the first Passover, the memorial of the first Passover, was in that first month, Numbers 9, verse 5. That was on the 14th of Nisan. So you can see that was a busy month. The giving of the 12 princes brought their offerings in at that time. And that took 12 days because each one brought an offering in each day. And this is all detailed in the 7th chapter of Numbers, verses 12, and it goes through verse 78. And it says that each one, head of each 12 tribes, brought in an offering before the Lord. And of course, remember, we're still at Sinai. We've been there since the 50th of the third month, and now about to leave. And if you can't tell what that is, I shouldn't tell you, but if you'll read in Numbers, the 10th chapter, in verse 11, that's the end of the time at Sinai. Because it says on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, and that's when the cloud lifted and they moved out into the wilderness. And I see I'm about to move out, and I trust that there is a blessing in this. If you didn't take any notes or didn't hear it all, that won't keep you from making a calling election sure. But you think about how many types and pictures in that period of time. And it's real good to take these scriptures and go back and think about them relative to each other. It gives just a little bit more dimension to them. May the Lord add his blessing.